Ron Lewis, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
When you look at the data regarding black male achievement, it's really striking. Mm-hmm. There's certainly a number of different causes, but how does racism play into that early gauge of achievement?
Well, wow. I mean, you talk about a tough question. You know, I think it's not 50s and 60s racism. I don't think it's that at all. I think it's more of an expectation that some of these young men are just athletes. They're not built for academia. And, you know, being a former college athlete, I have watched so many African-American males go through the college system, go through the high school system, and they have really nothing to show for but some dreams and some memories.
Is that on the part of the student, their expectations of themselves, or what their educators would?
Sure. I think it's the expectations of society. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes they just feed right into it. When I was in high school, I only had a 2.4, but I had people to pour into me. I had people to believe in me. And I think that's why I was able to accomplish my dream of going to college.
How can individual educators self-identify those biases, which, again, may or may not be as subtle compared to that blatant racism that we saw, or that blatant discrimination that we saw, say, 60 years ago?
Sure. Maybe I'm a hopeless romantic when I say this, but I just think treat each student like it's your own kid. Mm-hmm. That's how I treat students. When I engage with those young men at Southside, I saw each one of those young men as that's my son. And I want them to be successful because, as I told them, when they win, I win. And I hate to lose. And sometimes I don't think they're behind. I just think they learn differently. And I think sometimes we put one learning style on all people and expect them to learn that way. And when they don't, we say, well, you don't get it. You need to be in a remedial course, or you need to be held back or something like that. And I think that's unfortunate as well.
Put us in that classroom, if you can. Help us understand, what does an African-American boy experience, and how do you expect that could change the course of his life, or, you know, at least his academic achievement?
Wow. You know, I think that some of our males just don't see the value of it. They just don't see the value of education. And not that they don't want to learn. They just haven't gotten to the point that they say, hey, this is really valuable for me. But here's what I know about all of them. They all want to learn. They all want to be successful. They don't come to school not to be successful. But I think so many barriers impedes their learning. And sometimes it's home. Sometimes it's the community. Sometimes it's or their own self-doubt. They're saying, you know, I'm not cut out for this. So I don't care about it. And they are.
Studies have shown, you know, what some of this differential treatment in the classroom can look like, whether it be being over-disciplined. Can you explore a little bit more of what some of those ramifications can be for young men when they experience that?
You know, it's funny you said it, because my son, I'm not going to reveal the school, but he, you know, he's a sixth grader, and he noticed the teacher sending students of color, specifically African-American males, down, having less patience with them compared to their white counterparts. And he has never really talked about race at all. But he brought that up, that I think my teacher is kind of racist. And that was a kind of a shocker for me, because I just hope they don't have to deal with that. I hope they don't have to observe that. Is it there? Yes. Do I think some people have less patience for African-American males? Yes, I think they do.
The vast majority of K-12 educators are white females. So. Yep. How much of the problem is just that they have a hard time communicating with their African-American students, and how much is something else?
Students want to feel like they can have a connection with someone, and race is not the only factor in having that connection. But if I'm in the classroom and I see a group of students, specifically African-American males, I am more apt to pull them to the side and have a conversation with them. I'm not willing to just to let them walk out knowing that they're struggling and not have a conversation with them and not call their parents. See, things like that. Not when they're in trouble, but I'm also going to call their parents when they're doing something well. If the only reinforcement you get on a daily basis is when you're doing something wrong, but when you do something right, no one acknowledges that, then what type of message is that sending? So I think there needs to be a concerted effort to have teachers extend their hand even more. And not because they're black, but just because they're a student in your class, and they may be, you know, a little out of place, or they may feel like they may have a little self-doubt when it comes to education.
Lastly, given how complex this issue is, how entrenched some of the problems are, how optimistic are you that America can ultimately close the achievement gap?
I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. And the reason I would say that is because there, as much, you know, as we're talking about racism and it's a negative thing, there are some people in our community that are really fighting for our students to have education. There are some great organizations that are really trying to move forward and have our students educated and prepared for the 21st century. So I believe, but it won't happen overnight. I don't even know if it'll happen in 10 years, but hopefully in that time, the gap will lessen and lessen, and we will have students, all students, have the same education.
Ron Lewis of the University of St. Francis, thank you again so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.